from this day and upward, from before a stone was laid upon a stone in the temple of the Lord, since those days were when one came to an heap of 20 measures, there were but 10. When one came to the press fat for to draw out 50 vessels out of the press, there were but 20. I smote you with blasting and with mildew and with hail and all the labors of your hands, yet you turn not to me, saith the Lord. Consider now from this day and upward, from the 24th day of the 9th month, even from the day that the foundation of the Lord's temple was laid, consider it. Is the seed yet in the barn? Yea, as yet the vine and the fig tree and the pomegranate and the olive tree hath not brought forth. From this day will I bless you. God will bless the reading of His Word. Father, we pray for understanding. You'd be pleased, Lord, with what's spoken concerning Your words tonight. May they find lodging in our hearts and make a difference in our lives. And we'll thank You for that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, this in verse 15 is the third time He tells them to consider something. The message that He gave back in chapter 1 and verse 5, now therefore thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Verse 7 in the same message He says it again, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Now this message is different. He's not going to ask them to consider their ways as much as He's going to ask them to consider God's response. To consider God's ways. What a message. What a train of thought that God wants me to think about, to consider, to ponder, to meditate on, to look into my ways, how I'm living my life. And yet another thought God wants us to consider, to look into, to meditate upon, to think about what God does and how He responds and how He goes about in His activities toward us. So consider your ways. Now a change, consider. And the thought is what God has done and what He's going to do. You see that word consider there in verse 15. And now I pray you. He's begging them. Whenever you find that little phrase, I pray you in the Bible, it's like somebody's pleading with someone. You know, I pray you in Christ's stead be reconciled to God. Things of that nature. As Paul said on the ship, I believe it was, when they were going through the storm, and at the end of it, when God was going to give deliverance, that I pray you, you know, take a little meat. You've gone, hadn't had anything to eat. I pray you, now's the time to get some nourishment for you. It's a pleading, and the prophet is pleading them, pleading with them, to not just go life through life with their brain in neutral, but to consider some things. You know, that's really what not just this prophet's job is. That's what any person that's called of God to deliver the Word of God to people, that's what he's called to do, to try to get them to consider some things, to stop and think. Anybody, and that's why television is so dangerous. It puts your brain in neutral, you know. And that's why it's bad to stick little kids in front of boxes all day long, because they need to learn to consider things, to think through some things. And if we're not careful, you know, we can even come to church and we can just put it in neutral and not really consider things. Maybe think about what somebody else needed or wanted or needed to learn or what we wanted them to hear instead of considering it ourselves. So, that's my job. Just try to get people to consider things outside of the way they're living their life. And he says, consider, I pray you, he says, consider, watch this phrase, this is strange. We don't speak this way, verse 15, but this is an English Bible, and there's nothing wrong with the English Bible. But look at what it says. And now I pray you consider from this day and what? You don't talk like that. If you said from this day and what would you say? Forward. We don't say from this day and upward. Isn't that a little different to your ear? But look at it again. And by the way, you only find it these couple of times. Here, look at verse 18 again. Consider now from this day and what? Upward. How strange a phrase is that. Now, five other times in the Bible you can find where he talks about from this day or from that day and forward. So I'm not saying that's a strange phrase, because the Bible says, just like we say a lot of time, from this day or forth, from that day forward. That's in the Bible many times. But here the prophet doesn't say that. He says from this day and upward. In other words, I want you to consider the fact, as you're living your life, as you've considered your ways, and I want you to consider God's ways, that your day should not just be going forward. Your day should be going upward. Consider from this day and upward. You know, so many people's lives, from one day, they're going downward. Or maybe they are even trying to go forward, but they're not going upward. Their life is not headed in an upward trajectory toward God, toward His character, toward His will, toward His recognition, toward His praise. Their life may be going forward, but it's certainly not going upward. I think the prophet is trying to get them to look up, to get them to have a heavenly view, to get them to have an eternal view, to get them to have a God view. From this day and upward. I'm just telling you, that's strange. Because people live forward. They don't live upward. But we should be living upward. That's where my gaze should be. That's where my attention should be. That's where my goals and desires and plans, it ought to always be upward. Not just trying to get through the next day or through the next year or whatever. But my day should be headed upward toward God. And without that, they're just headed toward the grave. They're no value. And the job of the prophet, his job was to try to get them to look upward, get them to look to God. Get them to understand that their life is not just in a process of building the temple or being involved in whatever activity they've been involved in, but their lives, every part of their life should be a part of the puzzle toward God as they head upward into His will. God, deliver our days from going downward. It's so easy to get a burden for people, isn't it? You just see, like, day after day, it's not going up. You understand? And I'm not talking about physical health necessarily. I'm talking about the path of their life. They're not getting closer to God. And I'll say this, you're either getting closer to Him or you're getting farther away. Your days are either headed upward or they're headed downward. And a lot of people don't stop and consider that. Which way am I headed? Am I getting closer to the Lord? I'm getting farther away. Am I falling more in love with Jesus? Was there a day that I loved Him more? Was there a day I was committed to Him more? Was there a day I prayed more? Was there a day I was more interested in Him? Is my life been heading upward? Are my days from now going upward, or are they going in a different direction? And the prophet says, consider it. Think about it. Get your brain out of neutral. Stop and consider, I pray you, from this day and upward. Now, what you tell them to think about? Look at verse 15 again. And now I pray you consider from this day and upward, from before a stone was laid upon a stone in the temple of the Lord. So he's trying to get them to look up, but he's also trying, as they are having these upward considerations from now on, he's trying to get them to remember the lessons of the past. Now, right here, they've already been laying stone upon stone in the temple. They've been involved in a building project. And the prophet says, now I want you to think about and learn some lessons from the past while you're considering what God wants from you, what he expects from you. And as you're living for, I want you to consider some lessons from the past. Not your ways necessarily, but how God has reacted to some things in your past. Look what he says. Verse 16. Before a stone was laid upon a stone in the temple of the Lord. 16. Since those days were, when one came to an heap of 20 measures, there were but 10. Now he could be talking about wheat. He could be talking about all different types of crops. But he said, when you came to what should have been 20 measures, he said that there were but 10. In other words, you expected, you desired, you thought there would be 20, but when you got there were only 10. You were disappointed. Then he says, when one came to the press vat for to draw out 50 vessels out of the press, there were but 20. When you came to get the juice out of the wine fat there, the press, and you came and you thought you were expecting to get 50 vessels, but you only got 20. So the first time you came to get these measures and you only got half of what you expected. And the second time you came to get 50 vessels and you only got 20. Now that's less than half. That's 40%. In other words, God says, you remember back in the past, before we ever put these stones on the fact, how disappointed you were with some things? There were disappointments in your life. And he's describing the disappointments of their expectation. They expected this, but they didn't get it. You know, we got a lot of expectations in life, don't we? And a lot of times they don't work out. And a lot of times we expect this out of life and we get about half. Or we expect this is going to happen, we get about 40%. You know, a lot of times there's a reason for that. And what he's trying to tell them, I asked you first to consider your ways. Now, I'm going to ask you to consider my ways. Because what it was, the reason that you didn't get what you expected because I got involved in it. You remember over there, I think it was in verse 6 when he was preaching, he talked about earning wages and they put them into a bag with holes. Isn't that what he said? I think it was verse 6 there. Yeah, yeah. He that earneth wages, put them in a bag of holes. In other words, you had this expectation you'd have all these wages, but by the time you got home, there wasn't anything in the bag. It wasn't what you thought it was going to be. I wonder what you expect from God. You know, a lot of times we expect God to meet our needs. We expect God to take care of us. But I wonder if we could turn that around and ask what God expects from us. Because in this context, you know why they didn't get what they expected? Because God touched it. God touched it to get their attention. Well, let's just read it. He said in verse 17, he gives the reason why they only got half of what they expected. I smote you. Anybody want to sign up for that? You know? I tell you what, if somebody else hits you, that's one thing, but if God smites you, that's pretty rough. And these are his children. These are people he loves. He says, I smote you. Now he didn't smite them with his hand, all right? He didn't hit them physically. But he said this, I smote you with blasting and with mildew and with hail in all the labors of your hand. He smites their crops. That's why when he smites their crops with blasting and mildew, a disease on their crops, that's why when they thought they were going to get 20, they got 10. When they thought they were going to get 50, they got 20. Because God brought some type of disease that smote the works of their hands, what they had planted, what they had tried to grow. And he intervened in that. And so they didn't get what they expected from God because God hadn't been getting what he expected from them. Because that last phrase of verse 17, he says, yet ye turned not to me, saith the Lord. You see that? In other words, God wasn't doing all that to them to be mean to them. He was doing that so that they would, look up here, so that they would look at their disappointment. Oh, I only got half of what I was thinking I was going to get. I only got half of what I thought I needed. I only got half of what I expected. I only got 40%, man, I was counting on this. And God is trying to turn their disappointments for them to consider Him and turn back to Him with their heart so that that emptiness that they're feeling as they're going back home with just half, that emptiness may be filled with, God, what do you want from me? God, what do I need to do for you? What do I need to repent of? Is there something not right in my life, God? Is there something I need to consider in my heart? I would say this to you. If there's some disappointments in your life that things are not meeting your expectations, why don't you go to God? Why don't you fill that void up with God and say, God, is there a problem? Because God can be better. Do you see what he said in verse 17? I smote you with blasting and with mildew and with hail in all the labors of your hands. God said, everything you put your hand on, I touched it. Everything you tried to do, I got involved with it. And I made sure you're only going to get half. You know why? Because this, now remember now, this was before they put a stone on top of another stone in the temple, right? This is before they were obeying God about building the temple. And God was bringing all these things into their lives and the disappointments in their lives to turn their hearts back to Him. I mean, why in the first place did they ever get into the place where they were into captivity? Because of their disobedience, right? Because of their disobedience, they had lost everything in the promised land. Because of their disobedience, they had been taken into another nation and sold into captivity. And now they're coming back and he's trying to tell them, look, everything you touch, if you don't touch it with me, however great it looks, I can just chop down your expectations in a moment of time. You know, it'd be great if our expectations were just to do the will of God. Because God can touch everything about it. Remember what sometimes disappointments come in our life not because God is touching something, but sometimes the devil touches things, you know. I mean, it looked like the devil touched everything in Job's life, every work of his hands, including his own children. Right? But of course, God allowed that. But still, everything is not God's fault. But right here in this passage, the prophet is telling the people of God, look, the reason that you have been disappointed is because God has stopped your works from working out. How many things do we try to work out sometimes that God's not in a million miles of? And when it doesn't work out, we get frustrated. We get upset. It didn't work out like I planned. I'm disappointed. I expected this, and I didn't get this. I expected a good pastor, and I got stuck with that one. I expected good children, and I got these children. I expected this kind of job, and I got that job. I expected to have this kind of health. And I don't have that kind of help. It'll help our expectations if you know what? You won't be so disappointed if your expectations are a little lower. So, you know, God, all I have is by your grace and mercy, and I just want to look upward. I want to do your will. And instead of having these expectations of everything being like I thought it would be, Lord, let it be how you want it to be. Because sometimes how I want it to be, I get out of your will. And God has to intervene. So sometimes when we lose things, when when there's a loss or a disappointment in our life? Not all the time, but sometimes it's of God. It's like sickness. Sometimes sickness is from God. It's not always from God, but sometimes it is. But however disappointment comes, look at verse again. Look at the end of verse 17. Yet ye turned not to me, saith the Lord. In other words, whatever disappointment you got in your life, the proper response is to turn to God. Now, to turn to God, a lot, most of the time in the Bible when he talks about turning to God, he's talking about repentance, right? But you know, you can turn to God. You can turn to God even when you've not done anything really bad or wrong. You can get in such a direction in your life, we can get such in a pattern of our life that we forget to turn our eyes upon Jesus, to turn to the Lord, to include Him in our heart, to include Him in our lives. And God, and look, the proper thing to do, whenever I'm disappointed, whenever things don't meet my expectations, I need to go to God. I need to go to God. I don't need to try to figure it all out myself. I don't need to fix it all myself because maybe I'm plowing the wrong row. Maybe I'm not, but either way, I need to go to God. You know, this reads just like Amos, who preached more than 200 years before Haggai. Would you just go back a few pages to Amos? Amos chapter 4. It sounds just almost exactly like Amos. And the thing about Amos is, the prophet Amos, he preached about 50 years before Israel. I'm talking about Judah, but Israel, the split kingdom, he prophesied about 50 years before Israel went into captivity. And if they would have listened to him, it would have saved them so much heartache and trouble. And he preached to them over and over about turning to God. And they just ignored him. You know what? They didn't consider their ways, and they didn't consider God's ways. They didn't consider God's response. And so 50 years after Amos preached, they went down the toilet bowl. That whole part of the kingdom of Israel went into captivity. When, you know, if they just listened. Look how it reads. And God had done the same thing with them. He had disappointed them. He had stopped their expectations, but they didn't get the hint. Amos chapter 4, verse 6. Watch it. Amos 4, 6. And I also have given you cleanness of teeth. Now, he didn't brush their teeth. Their teeth were clean because they couldn't eat anything. That's why our teeth are so messed up. We eat everything, right? Including the sugar. All of it just goes in their teeth. You eat plenty, you got to brush it out. You got to clean it out. If you don't eat anything, there's no particles of food in there to brush out. He says, I also have given you cleanness of teeth. That means there had been a famine in the land, you see. They didn't have any food to eat. Look at it. I also have given you cleanness of teeth in all your cities and want of bread in all your places. Look at it now. Yet have ye not what? Returned unto me, saith the Lord. Didn't that sound like Haggai? I did this. You were disappointed. You didn't have bread. You didn't have enough food. But it didn't affect anything about you. Verse 7. And also I have withholden the rain from you. Oh, now we're getting into drought. Right? And also I have withholden the rain from you when there were yet 3 months to the harvest. Watch this now. And I, look at your Bible. And I caused it. This is God talking. I caused it to rain upon one city and caused it not to rain upon another city. Do we believe that still? God, you see that? God said, I made it rain in Ardmore and I made it not to rain in Decatur. He said, well, I just thought that was just happenstance. Now look, I know the devil's also the prince of the power of the air, but according to this Bible, a lot of times God will put his hand in our lives and touch everything that we touch, and he even affects when it rains. So what am I supposed to do when it doesn't rain? Do a dance? I mean, what? seed the clouds and with science and make it rain. Well, look what he says. One piece was rained upon, and the piece whereupon it rained not withered. Verse 8, so two or three cities wandered unto one city to drink water, but they were not satisfied. Look, look, yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord. I tried to get your attention. You quit raining. Let me ask you a question. What would it take for God to get your attention if you weren't right with God? I said if, because I know none of us are not right with God. We're all right with God in here tonight, right? What would it take for him to get your attention? Would he have to take away your food? Would he have to take away your rain? For to get you to return to, he took away their food, he took away their rain, and they still didn't turn to God. Keep reading. Verse 9, it reads just like Haggai. I have smitten you with blasting and mildew. That's what we read in Haggai, right? When your gardens and your vineyards and your fig trees and your olive trees increased. I mean, they were growing good, man. Look what he says, though. The palmer worm devoured them. I don't know what that thing is. I remember translating the Bible in Romanian with a bunch of, and I got to the, I don't know what a palmer worm is. What's a palmer worm? Maybe you know, but I had to look up all these books because there's a whole lot. There's a canker worm and a palmer worm and a, all types of worms. I don't know what it is, but you know what it did? It killed the crops. And they thought, man, these are the best olive trees we ever had. These are the best gardens we ever had. These are the best vineyards. Boy, I tell you what, we worked hard and those figs looked so good. And then you know what God did? God touched what they touched. And he just sent a little worm. Isn't that what he did to Jonah? He sent a little worm. What does he say in the verse 9? Yet have you not returned unto me, saith the Lord. Verse 10, I have sent among you the pestilence. Now here we go, diseases. I've sent among you the pestilence after the manner of Egypt. Your young men have I slain with the sword and have taken away your horses. And I've made the stink of your camps to come up under your nostrils. Yet have you not returned unto me, saith the Lord. He said, I've sent disease into you. War has touched your young men and your lives, and still you will not return to me. Verse 11, I've overthrown some of you as God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah, and you were as a firebrand plucked out of the burning. Yet have you not returned unto me, saith the Lord. Fire, war, disease, pestilence, crops smitten, no rain, no food. And you know what they say? Nothing. They don't turn to God. You know, somebody could read that and somebody could hear a message like this and say, boy, that's awful, isn't it? No. You know what that is? All that's Hebrews chapter 12. For whom the Lord loveth, you see, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. God loves us too much to let us continue to go down a path that is not upward. And so he touches thing after thing to get me to turn to God. It'd be one thing if you're turning to God and God, oh Lord, I need you. God, I want you. Lord, you know, praise God, I believe in confessing sins you don't even commit. Amen. Just confess them all. Praise the Lord. You're probably guilty of some you don't think you are anyway. I mean, God's people ought to be good repenters. Amen. Just get down in there and say, God, I'm sorry, rotten, and I'm guilty of this. Even if you don't think you are, just say it all out. You'll probably hit a few in there. Amen. Lord, I want to be close to you. I want to return to you. I don't want to live my life with you having to touch the work of my hands to get my attention. You've got my attention. You see the prophet? Consider. He said, consider, guys, before you laid those stones, all those expectations you had and how you were disappointed and God was just trying to get you to turn to him, but you didn't. And your life got hard. Boy, I wish I could make some people's decisions in their lives for them, but I can't. Man, it'll save you a world of hardship if you'll just turn to God and say, God, What do you want? What do I need to do? What do I need to repent of? Haggai's just preaching the same old message they were preaching 200 years ago. And that's the same message for the church. The chastening of the Lord. God loves you. He will speak to you. He chastens every son whom he receiveth, whom the Lord loveth. He chastens. God is speaking to us. He will scourge us because he loves us. And he wants our lives to head upward. You know, look at Zechariah. I'm not far from finishing. In Zechariah chapter 1, though, now Zechariah, you know, and Haggai, they preach together. Zechariah comes right after Haggai's preaching in time here. And watch what Zechariah says. You know what he says? He says the same thing Haggai said. You know, if God sent a prophet down from heaven tonight, you know what he'd say? He'd say this right here. Zechariah 1:3. Therefore say thou unto them, thus saith the Lord of hosts, turn ye unto me. You see that? Turn ye unto me, saith the Lord of hosts, and I will what? I will turn unto you. I love that verse. God said, if you'll turn to me, I'll turn to you. That's like James, you know, draw nigh to God, he'll draw nigh to you. But you know what? You got to make the first step. God said, I'm not turning to you until you turn to me. And until you turn to me, you're just going to have to live with it. It doesn't matter if it's Amos preaching. It doesn't matter if Haggai preaching. It doesn't matter if Zechariah's preaching. It doesn't matter if it's your pastor preaching. It doesn't matter if it's somebody preaching 50 years from now if we're not all home. God says, you turn to me, I'll turn to you. But if you're waiting on me to fix everything in your life without you turning to me, you're going to wait a long time. Don't hold your breath. You're going to turn blue. But if you'll turn to me, I promise you, I'll turn to you. What a promise. Consider, he says. Go back to Haggai. I got to get two more verses in there. I'm finished. He switches gears and he said in verse 18, consider now from this day and upward, from the 24th day of the 9th month, I'm in Haggai 2:18, even from the day that the foundation of the Lord's temple was laid. Now, he said, first I want you to consider what happened before you even put any stones down. But now I want you to consider after things have started. Even from the day the foundation of the Lord's temple was laid, consider it. He said, I want you to consider how things have gone since you've started this work that you were supposed to do, that I told you to do. Verse 19. Is the seed yet in the barn? Yea, as yet the vine and the fig tree and the pomegranate and the olive tree have not brought forth. He says, you know what's happened? What's happened since you've started doing what I told you to do? As of yet, nothing. He says, as of yet, there's nothing been gathered in the barn. You don't have nothing in the barn. You know, when you don't have anything in the barn, you're broke. Nothing's grown. There's no harvest taken. You're empty. The barn's empty. Now he's trying to get him to think. Why do you think that is? Why do you think since you've been doing what I told you to do, your barn's empty? Well, now remember, this is point two of the message that he started this day. Remember back up there when we started looking at that in verse 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. You know what all that was about? What was it about? Y'all remember when we were there? It was about the people of God being holy. And they weren't holy. They were what? They were unclean. They were doing all this stuff that God told them to do, but they were still unclean in their lives. No wonder their barn was empty. Their barn was empty because outwardly they were doing what God told them to do, but inwardly they were unclean. Now, God says, I want you to think about that. Why is that? Why is that? And it all goes back because you've not turned to God. You may have turned outwardly, but you need to turn to God inwardly. And I love this part, and I'm finished. And this is just like God. Let's read verse 19 again. Is the seed yet in the barn? Yea, is yet the vine and the fig tree and the pomegranate and the olive tree hath not brought forth, colon, strange. From this day, Well, I bless you. Wait, God. God, you just told me to think about your ways, how you've sent blasting and mildew, how things hadn't been growing because we hadn't turned to you like we should have from our heart, and the barn's empty and nothing's produced like it should have. And now you say, when you get through with it, that you're going to bless us. God said from that day that Haggai starts preaching, he said, now look, this is the way it's been, but from now on, I'm going to bless you. You know, he's trying to get them to consider his ways. Now that was your ways, but now look at my ways. I love you so much that I'm going to touch your life and disappoint you to try to get you to turn to me. But I love you so much, even though you've been unclean, and even though you've not turned to me like you should, I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm still going to bless you. You know, God blesses people that don't deserve blessings. He reigns on the just and the unjust. He blesses this country, not because of it, but in spite of it. And he blesses you and me, not because of us, but in spite of us. I believe God's blessing is on our church, but it's not. His blessing is not on our church because we're such a great church. His blessing is on our church because he's a great God. Amen. And he's merciful and he's kind and he's patient. Amen. And he gives us what we don't deserve, and they're called blessings. And he just says, now you think about that a while. Here's a preacher come and say, you know why everything's dead? Because of you hadn't turned to God. But you know what? From now on, God's going to bless you. Because that's the way God is. But you know what? He asked them to consider that. Consider that kind of God. Why wouldn't you want to turn to that God? And why wouldn't you want to obey that God? And why would you live out of harmony with that God that is so merciful and gracious? Think about his ways. He loves you too much not to touch you when you're out of line. And yet he blesses you way out of proportion that you deserve. I'm going to read this last. Would you go to Malachi chapter 3? I'm finished. Malachi is the last prophet. Of course, you got Haggai's preaching here. And right after him comes Zechariah. He had a space of time, and then Malachi is the last prophet. And then there's the great silence of God. Nothing between Malachi and Matthew. 500 years. And you know what Malachi says? It sounds just like Haggai. Watch this. Malachi chapter 3, verse 7. Even from the days of your fathers, you are gone away from mine ordinances and have not kept them. What does he say? Return unto me and I will what? Is that not the message all these guys are saying? If you'll just come to me, I'll come to you guys. Saith the Lord of hosts, but ye said, wherein shall we return? Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. You're cursed with a curse. Here comes that problem, you know. For ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a what? A what? A blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Now look at verse 11. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. That's what he's been saying. He's saying, guys, I'm going to be involved in every part of your life. And if you're not living your life upward, I'm going to touch your life. But if you just return to me, I'd return to you, and there would be such blessing in your life. And why don't you consider that and prove it? Because it will happen. All right, let's bow our heads. Let's stand together. Thank you for your good attention to the Word of God tonight. God delights in blessing. The Bible says that God sent Jesus to bless us in turning every one of us from our iniquities. God blessed Abram. And he made him a blessing to all the families of the earth. Made him a blessing to us. And the blessings of God poured out upon us will reach over into other people's lives. But oh, that we would consider his ways and turn to him with all our hearts. Let's pray together.